You are listening to Critical End, episode 34.
The episode that is set in 1976 for no apparent reason.
So far,
I'm liking this.
Well, you just like any man who comes to your door?
I'm lonely, right?
Oh, I see. I suck as much.
I steal the neighbor's mail and pretend like it's to me.
Oh, gotcha. So he comes to your door and he says, Listen, Logan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Frank Langella.
He knows my name. Oh, no.
And...
Wait, what's his name?
His name's Frank Langella.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Frank Langella. And I've heard you.
Did you see me in Dracula in the 70s?
Did I? I must have missed out on Frank Langella. You want to come in? I'll put some tea on.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Okay, cool. What are you selling today, Mr. Frank Langella?
Well, I'm not selling anything, Logan. But thank
oh,
you
really?
For no, I
well,
actually...
Well, I like you better then.
Well, I have a gift.
A gift, you say?
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, this guy's... You're here now, too.
Oh.
Ryan, this guy's giving me free stuff.
I'm in the bathroom. Just whatever
sorry,
it is, if it's a button, push it.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Langella. He's in the bathroom a lot.
La la, bathroom song, la la.
Oh, my God, the
And
bathroom.
Then Frank Langella's like, this is an embarrassing situation. I
well,
wish
my,
I
yeah.
hadn't come in. But here's the deal.
Okay.
I'm going to give you this button. It's a box with a button on it, okay?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you press this button,
yes.
Two things will happen.
Oh.
One, you will receive
Ooh,
a payment.
One's my favorite.
You don't even... All right.
I choose one, Mr. Frank Langella.
It's no. Both things happen.
Oh, I don't choose one. This
no.
isn't like deal or no deal?
No. This is just a deal.
Oh, okay, cool. What a deal then.
You press the button. That's what would theoretically happen. At that point.
Right, I get to push a button.
Just press it then. I'm in
okay.
the bathroom. Rubber ducky. No,
jump.
Press the button. Oh, I wasn't done telling you about it.
Can we reset the button?
No, you can't reset. All right, here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Now that you pressed the fucking button.
You didn't push the button just now, okay, Logan?
You will receive a payment of $1 million. However,
cold hard cash,
or additionally, depending on your viewpoint.
Is this like traveler's checks, or is this?
This is tax-free cash.
Okay.
The second part is this: after you receive this payment of $1 million, or if simultaneously, someone you don't know.
Okay, it's somebody I don't know.
Will
so it's not Steve. what about Jessica?
You obviously, if you know anyone whose name you know, let's just clarify.
But what if I don't know this guy named John? Okay, I heard of him, but I don't know him.
Where did you hear of him?
I met him, and I got to know him really... No, I mean, I don't know him at all.
You know, there's some...
I think I got you, Mr. Langella. I think I got you. Oh, give me a quarter.
Stop tickling me.
Give me a quarter. Okay.
Get back off.
Somebody I don't know. I won't be as touchy now.
Someone you don't know will die.
Gasp! What? Are you going to leave now? Then leave me with the box?
Yeah, well, yes, I will. And when
are you going to call me tomorrow at 5? Do I need to dress up? Where are we going?
Look, we're not pals now, all right?
Oh.
You don't
Wait,
know
so
me.
You could say I don't know you. Exactly.
Oh, no,
so
God, no.
Are you going to die? Are you sure you want to do this deal?
And that's how Logan killed Frank Langella.
Oh, jeez. Well, we're reviewing the new Tyler Perry movie tonight. I'm in. Okay, Ryan, I am intrigued incredibly by this plot.
You know,
in fact, it sounds a whole lot like a short story called Button Button that was written by Richard Matheson.
It's the very same.
Yeah, okay, cool. So you're telling me this is a full-length movie now about that short story?
Right, they expanded that into a whole movie.
Oh, awesome, okay. So what do we feel about this, then? I'll just put the box here for a second. We'll find out what'll happen a bit later in the show.
All right, well, directed by Richard Kelly, should mention that. It's got Cameron Diaz and James Marsden, and as I said, Frank Langella plays the mysterious Mr. Stewart with the box. So Cameron Diaz, James Marsden are a couple, and they are a married couple, and they are sort of hard on their luck for money, and they're presented with this offer, $1 million, in exchange, after you press this button, but someone you don't know will die. Well, they agonize over it, and I guess I can go ahead and say that they press it, right? Because I mean,
of
that's
course,
the yeah, obviously. Wouldn't that be a great movie if they didn't press the button and it's like, well, I, all right.
In credits, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
And it's like, you know, at the end, you're like, there was a much more interesting couple that pressed the button, but we didn't decide to focus on.
We didn't have time for that.
Just really, you're a good person. Thank
you're
you.
Right. This would be great if it was just a heartfelt, moving drama about coming of age in 1976 America.
And buttons.
And buttons, yes.
It's actually called Button Button because, well, never mind. No, so they agonize back and forth over whether they should press this button. They don't really believe it'll do anything. They think it's a joke. They go back and forth. Well, they press the button. Yeah. And that,
from there, I guess we should keep quiet.
Yes, that starts off a chain of events that that forms the rest of the movie in terms of what the consequences will be of their actions.
To plug what's coming a little bit later in the show, too, as well as the short story itself, what Ryan just told you is pretty much the entire short story and pretty much the entire retro pick for the night, too, which we'll get to. Of course, there's one little tiny twist originally that Richard Madsen had in the story that happens after that, which works its way into the movie, too, but then the movie goes way further than that. So, stop mentioning.
Yeah, are you referring to what Mr. Stewart says immediately after?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. Which right. was Madsen's original twist, yeah.
Right, that is the twist, and that's... I won't ruin that, because it's probably the best part of both versions of this
tale. It's very Richard Madsen. It's very Twilight Zone-y. Like, right. It's one of those things you hear, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right. So, at any rate, the movie is pretty good about being... about atmosphere and tone, I think. It's got, like, a cool sort of vibe going. You don't know what they're going to do. It's nice and suspenseful. They press the button, and then there's a lot of interesting little weird things that happen that are connected to them pressing this button. They have to sort of try to figure out what it's all about and how, if they can possibly reverse the potential repercussions of their decision. Problem being twofold. First of all, it's good at being mysterious, but then there's a giant scene in the middle of a movie that blatantly ruins any mystery the movie had while still not satisfactorily explaining anything. It also is ironic because during that scene, Frank Langella talks about how much he loves mystery while he ruins the mystery of the movie. Secondly, all the little weird things are just weird things. They don't actually come together to form anything particularly cohesive or to give any sort of real meaning or reason for the events that take place in the film. It's all just sort of a really nice start with a very haphazard, unsatisfying ending, to the point where I sat and thought about the ending trying to think if I was missing something. And it's probably because the movie really convinces you there's going to be a cool twist, and there just never is. It's very sort of straightforward, and I think a movie that's set up this way and that in its shorter form did have a twist, you're definitely expecting a twist.
Well, to jump in here really quick, Ryan, this is kind of like Richard Kelly's bit. This is why he's probably never going to really take off in Hollywood. Like anyone, I mean, you mentioned his name earlier, so we might as well throw out Donnie Darko. Uh-huh. This is pretty much the exact same problem with Donnie Darko. Mm-hmm. You spend like the entire movie watching because you're like, okay, this has to be going someplace good. What's happening? And then like you're like, oh, well, okay, that means nothing at all.
However...
There's more, though. Go ahead. I was just throwing in our Richard Kelly aside.
No,
there.
And that's excellent, and I agree. But however, I sort of put this in the category of Jeepers Creepers, where it's like, well, that ending was unsatisfying, but I just really liked the beginning a lot. Which
like, kind of like you had a fun time getting there, then?
Yeah. And
yeah, it was unsatisfying, but you had a fun time traveling to the unsatisfying ending.
Yeah. It's like when you go to...
School. Church.
I was looking for, like, what's a good crappy amusement park? I was kind of looking for...
Adventureland?
No.
I kind of enjoyed it myself.
Never mind. So, it's the thing is, I still sort of enjoyed... And the thing is, it really doesn't fall apart necessarily at the end. It's just sort of, well, we're not... There's a lot of loose ends. We're not going to really explain how that goes. And everything that we presented to you is sort of the thing we presented to you. It's not... anything different. There's nothing, there's no really extra cool hidden meaning. It's just a little bit by the book for my taste, which is why I gave it a 6.
Your rating kind of surprises me there, Ryan.
Oh, yes?
Like, based on everything you just said, it doesn't seem like, for instance, Ministeric Goats, it seems like you said a lot more flattering things, and yet only gave it a 5.
No, I definitely enjoyed this movie
is it,
more.
It kind of like our rule of thumb, like, only hit the bad stuff, because that's really what makes up the review so much.
I guess I'm... Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I definitely enjoyed this movie more than Men of Stared Goats, because Men of Stared Goats was boring a lot. Whereas The Box, I wasn't really ever bored. It's just the culmination wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And I thought there's a lot of cool atmospheric things about The Box, whereas I don't think there was much style to Men Who Stare at Goats. So.
Right. Well, I'm going to try something new tonight, Ryan.
Put your pants back on.
I usually come better prepared for these things when, like, I know that we differ a whole lot on our reviews of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Because then, it's good to hear, I think, both extremes and form your own opinion and, you know, decide from there who has the better points, you know.
I prefer three extremes, but whatever.
But I prefer... More Three Extremes? What was the sequel called?
It was something like More
Three Extremes? Yeah.
Three More Three Extremes.
Three More Extremes, something like that? I don't know.
When a Stranger Calls Back.
So I want to review this movie without actually reviewing it tonight, Ryan.
Oh, my.
I want to let other critics do my work for me.
Okay.
I misunderstood the assignment.
You've brought some reading material?
I brought some reading material and some pie charts that my mom made on PowerPoint.
Okay.
So basically, Ryan, I did some research and found that you gave this movie 6 before the show, okay?
Okay.
With that knowledge in mind, I looked at every like mainstream, like full-fledged, like legitimate critic I could find.
Uh-huh.
Like in other words, not like some guy posting on like IMDb message boards or somebody's review on Netflix, right?
Right.
Like actual critics, like people that people know and love, et cetera, right? I'm always one to tell you not to listen to critics, but I'm gonna tell you to listen to them when it comes to this movie. Everyone I looked into, Ryan, you actually rated this movie. I'm considering you a legitimate critic. You're good. you actually rated this movie higher than any actual critic.
Really?
That I could possibly find. It's rare to find a critic who gave this film above a C+, if you want to look at it that way. And then...
Well, a 6.
Where would you put a 6 in on a...
6 is a C+.
Okay. But I don't know. I guess the critics had a lot more bad things to say. The critics who gave it a C+ seemed to be more down on it than you, even.
Sure. All right.
I then went on, and I wish I'm a week behind on my Entertainment Weekly subscription, okay, Ryan? Like, I don't, you know, they pile up. So after I saw The Box last night, I got home and I opened up last week's Entertainment Weekly. And they have a great half-page article. It's not a review of The Box. There's a review of The Box in the back. They give it a C- for what it's worth. But under the heading Bombs Away, they have the following headline, Could The Box Be the Year's Most Hated Movie? And they actually had a guy write an entire article about this, and he did all the research, and yes, according to him, based on what I just said, like, I even did the same research myself, like, there's not a single critic who liked this movie. They quote CineScore, which you may have heard of CineScore before. These are the people who, you've been accosted by CineScore before, right?
Uh-huh.
During the opening night of films, when, you know, most films are sold out and packed no matter what they are, they're the people who kind of pull you aside when you're leaving the theater and say, like, oh, will you fill out this quick survey about the movie? We'll give you, like, a shirt or a movie ticket or something, right?
Right.
Well, this is, according to them, their worst film ever. This is the only film that's ever gotten, like, they rate on a bunch of things. They rate on, like, acting, cinematography, directing.
How many movies do they do?
Oh, no, they do tons. They've been, I don't know exactly how long they've been doing
this.
Their
worst film ever, that's ludicrous.
Oh, no, they even, the article even points out, it says, like, you know, the quote, like, even Turkeys, as they call it, like, this year's All About Steve, you know, that Sandra Bullock film?
Yeah.
Which, you know, they reviewed as creepy and humiliating comedy. Like, at least that got a C+ from CineScore. Now, this is actual people. This isn't film critics. This is people leaving the theaters telling them this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it got solid Fs all the way down. Nationwide, they did this, Ryan. This is what they do with movies. And solid Fs, which, according to this guy, means that less than 4% of everyone in America who rated this for CineScore gave it above a D. Less than 4%. So this should tell you something, people. So I don't feel like I need to sit here and bore you with why this movie's not good. I think you can just pick up a review from any critic, which chances are you will pick up a review from any critic, because every critic that I looked into said this, and read everything that's bad about it. The highlights being that's mostly a comedy, and that's not it's not supposed to be. But yes, I really could sit here and just name things off that were pretty funny. Our opening of the show, I think, is a good example of one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But so there you go. Pick up the Entertainment Weekly issue if you want to. Read it for yourself. There's also a great picture of that of Cameron Diaz on the phone with the byline, "Hello, Ms. Diaz, it's a public calling. Your movie stinks." It's enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. And I think that this is going to become... possibly Ryan a midnight movie, but not like one of those fun midnight movies. This could become a midnight movie in the vein of like The Room, perhaps.
It could
possibly be that bad.
Well, that's insane. It's not that bad.
All that being said, I highly recommend you do not listen to Ryan. I'm kidding. That's not where I was going with that. I highly recommend that you don't listen to to Ryan. I highly recommend that you listen to the critics on this one and just avoid this. If you think you're interested, possibly Netflix.
You're not.
But you're going to have to like invest more time than you want to. You know, we usually say like, you know, this is a great movie to catch on TNT or to catch while making a sandwich. You couldn't possibly do that with this movie because it'd make no sense. Not that the movie makes much sense anyway, but you're going to have to actually sit there and watch this movie, and that's the biggest problem with it, I think. On a side note, I am still apologizing to my girlfriend for taking me to this movie. when we left, she's like, "Logan, let's just not talk about it." I was like, "Thank you."
Well,
there's the box. It's a 3 out of 10 from Logan.
I will say that I don't agree with any critics or you or anyone ever, because
Brian,
this movie's not great, but it's not anywhere near as bad as you just described. I mean, there are movies.
Brian, I did not actually describe the film. I just quoted other critics.
Well, you're standing by them, though, clearly.
I am. I'm a critic myself, and I'm agreeing with them, to be honest with you.
You're
I
quoting think other
they're,
critics.
They're, I think the critics, like, this is unanimous. It's rare that, you know, all the critics ever get together and hate one movie, but this is true. Like, that was, you know, the subject of this Entertainment Weekly article, that it's the most hated movie right now, possibly this year.
Well, it hasn't happened now, because I stand against you all to say that this movie is just
Brian,
okay.
For what it's worth, I'll take your side, because this makes you awesome. This makes you, like, the punk rock of critics right now,
That's right.
You're you know that rebel David Bowie was talking about back in the 70s?
Yes, I do, and I knew that at the time.
Yes, when I wasn't even around yet. There's a quick review of the box, though. It's already kind of bombed at the box office. It dropped, it was like number 3 opening week, and now it's dropped to number 10, and it'll be gone after this week. So by the time you're hearing this review, chances are you won't be able to see it. Chances are you'll probably be able to rent it on DVD now that I think about it. Or Blu-ray, for that matter. Hey, do you hear about, to change the subject, do you hear Warner Brothers is doing, because no one's investing in Blu-ray at all, Ryan, okay? Warner Brothers is doing this thing, it's called like DVD to Blu-ray, where they're like, send us your DVDs and we'll send you the Blu-ray upgrade of it. Oh, and you gotta pay us like 9 extra bucks.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of a joke, though, at this point. Like, they know this isn't working at all, and they've already tried screwing people over. Like, they're like, you want the director's cut of this new movie that just came out? Sorry, it's by the Blu-ray. The DVD's just a regular edition. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. And now that they're even, like, Blu-rays are coming with, like, 2 to 3 discs, I'm like, hold on. You, like, the whole way you pushed Blu-ray on me was saying that you could fit all this content on one disc. Now you're actually charging me $5 extra for another disc, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, aren't most of those digital copy releases, though?
Like, no, it's not the case at all. The example that's got everyone all riled up is Terminator Salvation, which I was really excited, because, you know, we like that movie a lot, and I was excited to see the director's cut of this film. I only thought it'd be better. Huh. Turns out I'm going to have to invest in a whole Blu-ray player, and then, like, the $35 DVD of the director's cut to get this.
Well,
that's a side.
No, wait. What's the controversy? Why is it like 2 discs?
I guess it's just extra content. The controversy is that the DVD release is just a regular theatrical cut, bare bones.
Gotcha.
So they're like, well, okay, could you not fit the actual like director's cut on the regular DVD? Yes, they could. They just didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously they could. It's like 2 or 3 hours. I mean, of course
right,
you
exactly.
could. Exactly. Well, you know, I'm gonna.
They've done the theatrical edition too on DVD. I mean.
Oh, sure. I'm going to disagree with you again and say that Blu-ray's awesome and you should get a Blu-ray
that wasn't a review of Blu-ray itself.
I know, but if we're going to be contentious, we should just go all the way.
Just go all out? Yeah. Well, Ryan, I've got quotes from other critics here saying Blu-ray is...
Blu-ray is almost as bad as the box.
They did...
Which is the worst thing ever. It's a cinematic abortion and no one should
Blu-ray,
ever even think about it.
Format of the year.
Most hated format of it. Even Laserdisc, which people just called embarrassing and humiliating, was not as bad as Blu-ray.
You would not be seen in public with Blu-ray is the headline of this article. I can't believe that.
Hello, Blu-ray. It's the public calling. How are you answering a phone?
Well, it's Blu-ray. It's amazing. And do things like that.
That's true.
So a 6 out of 10 and a 3 out of 10 for the box. You know, this is one that if you see, by any chance, let us know. I'd love to hear some more user comments on this.
There's no point. Everyone agrees. It's already agreed.
Ryan, that's critics, though. You know, actually, the article I quoted said that less than 4... You're part of that 4% who gave this movie above.
Was not asked about it.
Yeah. Oh, no, you ran, though. I saw them. They came
that's
for you.
That's true. I didn't want to admit it. Logan, listen.
Yeah, oh, sure.
I think that you would agree about this movie, even if you didn't enjoy it, was it does raise, much like the original short story, an interesting moral quandary of, presented with this difficult decision, would you go through with it? I mean, you're watching the movie, you're thinking, would you press the button? Right,
so, you know, is Frank going to come back for this box, or...?
Oh, no, that's yours to keep. It's a
boxes?
Parting gift.
Is it like a parting gift?
But let me ask, it's one thing to talk about human life, but let's talk about some things that actually matter, Logan. I have some other buttons here that I want to see if you'll press.
More boxes? Oh, boy!
Yeah. So here's another box I dug out of the basement. Now, let me tell you.
So what kind of wood is this?
Well, if you press this button, Logan, two things will happen. First, you will receive a payment of $1 million. However...
Right, so...
Adam Sandler will retroactively replace Chevy Chase in every Chevy Chase film.
Oh, man. Oh, okay, now this is more real-life situation.
Now, this is a button you got to think about.
This is so sad for me. Like, when someone's, like, life is at stake, I push the shit out of the button. But when this comes up, my gut instinct, right, and I swear I'm not making this up, is I don't push the button.
You fool!
I'm sorry, people. Like, I would kill you, even though I don't know you, but I would not... push the button. That is true. I would.
You would be the only one who would remember it used to be Chevy Chase. It wouldn't, like, everyone else's life would go on fine.
And that is what scares me the most. I feel like this would be like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers type thing where I'd be, you know, the guy
Kevin
running around
McCarthy.
Saying, like, it's true! They're coming! Like, you know, Chevy Chase used to exist! Everyone's like, Chevy Chase? That's a scary, scary
place in Maryland?
Is that place in Maryland? I think you mean Chevy Chase. No, I would not push that. Even I'd stay poor if I had to. At least I'd have Chevy films on DVD and Blu-ray.
So you've just said that, like, the enjoyment that you've gotten out of the works of Chevy Chase is worth more than $1 million to you.
This is crazy but true, yes.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely true. No, I mean, there's other, like, real life, like, you know, like, people I love and stuff like that, I would get rid of them in no time.
Sure.
No, like, you know, I would get rid of Chevy Chase over that, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's... This is how much, like, comedy means to me. I think that's a big thing right there. Like, it's not, you know, it's not worth $1 million.
To be honest,
I think if Chevy found out about the situation, he'd give me $1 million. It's a big thing.
I think Chevy would be too busy pressing some button on a box somewhere.
He's like, I gotta go away!
He had the deal of $1 million to kill Logan, and he just took it.
The big decision there is also based on the fact that it's Adam Sandler, too, I think.
Right, right. Well,
what would you do in that situation, Ryan? I guess Chevy's not as important to you. What about what's like your big nerd comedy thing? What if like Mystery Science Theater would disappear forever? Like it'd be like the same thing where you'd be telling people about it.
I would not press that button.
Okay, I'm good. I'm glad to know that this is how serious we are about comedy, folks. Mm-hmm. We're in the same boat here. Yeah.
Well, I knew you'd say that, but I have some more boxes here.
Oh, more, huh? Okay, cool. Can I just put this one aside? No one touch that button.
Yeah, we'll just lock that up. That no one can touch that. Don't sit on it, Logan.
Oh, oops. Oh, sorry. All right. I was pie instead.
Good. Why did I bake that? All right, so here's this box. Now, if you press this button, Logan, two things will happen.
Okay.
One, Bill Murray goes back to making funny movies.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm about to push it.
Okay, but...
Oh, wait.
All of them are completely scored by Radiohead. Now, let me be clear. I don't mean that there are musical interludes with Radiohead songs. I mean that Radiohead plays nonstop throughout the entire film.
Jeez.
Over every scene.
Will Murray look awkward the whole time? Kind of like he's looking around like, can we cut the music out now?
No, he loves that music.
Well, okay, now, I have to say though, this Ryan kind of contradicts itself. Any film completely scored by a radio hit's not going to be funny.
I mean,
like, so you're sorry, Frank, hold on a second. You're telling me that, like, Murray will make funny films again, but then you're saying they're going to be scored by Radiohead, so how's this funny?
Well, it's going to be funny, but it's also going to be annoying because of the music. But the jokes and stuff that are happening in the movie will still be very funny.
Now, could I find some possible way to kill the music track? Is this possible in this world?
It's not.
Like, could I take it to some guy and be like, "Listen, can you just get rid of all like track three of this audio?"
No, that's impossible.
Oh,
in fact, Murray sings along most of the time.
Okay, this sounds funny. I'm pushing it.
Oh God, no! What have you done?
I just gave Tom York work for years to come.
All right, I'd probably press that button too because, I mean, worst case scenario, you still have a hilarious Bill Murray movie that you could kind of try to enjoy.
York could possibly write a non-melodramatic shrimp-like song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be good. I mean, to be honest, it couldn't be worse than, like, the Box's Arcade Fire score, which is pretty much the same thing as what it comes down to, so.
That's true. You're right.
Okay, so yeah, okay.
So one button not pressed,
not pushed.
One button
Chevy
pressed.
Not pushed, Bill Murray pushed.
Got it. All right.
That's how much Bill Murray means to me. I feel one day Ryan will come back to my side. So I'm just going to give him a little nudge there by pushing this button for him.
What if it had been the other way? $1 million, Adam Sandler replaces Bill Murray. This is one on the fly.
Do you mean like we're talking now like Ghostbusters would have had Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
And, oh.
Well, you just made my decision for me. I'm not pressing that button.
Yeah, I know. But $1 million, I don't know. I feel like I could live with it. I don't know. I really like Ghostbusters.
I know.
No, I'm not pushing that button either. So where do you stand then so far? Are we tied pretty much on this?
Yeah, I pressed the second one too. That's worth it. So we're tied. Okay. So here's a good one.
Okay.
You get a personal guarantee, Logan.
Ooh, I like this. Okay.
You will never again see a bad movie.
Wow.
You will enjoy all the movies. I'm not saying you get a lobotomy. You just will happen to always say movies you enjoy, okay? But Wiener Dog disappear from the face of the earth.
No! This is tragic.
This is just a sad
fair
tale.
To everybody. This is my box moment right here. Okay, Ryan. The sad thing is Wiener Dog's up there in years, right?
Uh-huh.
He's one age to...
Wiener Dog being your Wiener Dog, personally.
Yes, he's one age to the age that most Wiener Dogs live to. He's 7 and most Wiener Dogs live to be 8.
Oh, man.
He's had several health issues this year. He actually had there was a health scare, and Wiener Dog was not going to make it for a while.
Maybe it's time to let him go.
See, Frank, you have to come in here and start. You're not supposed to influence my decision, Frank.
I have a lightning face. Blah.
I do not.
That's what he says.
I do not push the button. I will let Wiener Dog live his one more year out, even if he dies like in less than that. And I will, you know, just take the movies as they come, kind of like this. Like, you know, it's like, you know, the box looked good to me and wasn't. You never know. You know, it's like I think it'd be good to, you know. Plus, I'd be out of a job. I'd be sitting here every week being like, this movie was another great movie.
Yeah, right.
That Bill Murray sure looks great scored to Radiohead. You know what I mean?
You sure Franklin Jell is taking this box away? If Wiener dies next month, you can, you know.
If Wiener dies next
Wiener
month.
Wiener Dog dies.
You only hear on our show. Frank, go ahead, take it. It's
okay.
Cool.
All right.
You leave the other ones out. I just want to make sure no one pushes that Chevy one.
Well, I wouldn't press this one either, not because I mean, I love Wiener Dogs, don't get me wrong.
This is the beginning of your country song.
But I enjoy bad movies. Plus, if there were no more bad movies, there would be no more Mystery Science Theater or Riff Tracks or anything. So, you know.
You know, I didn't even look at that side of it. But, yeah, you and I actually love the bad movies just as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for us to go out of our way to watch a bad movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, I'll keep that so I can keep watching films like Killjoy and Killjoy 2.
Oh, man. Those are
Wishmaster.
How can you have seen Killjoy and Killjoy 2 and yet you still hate the box? I mean, anyway. All right, so, Logan, listen, I got this other box for you.
Okay.
There's a few more boxes to go through.
Did you bring all these in that big box?
Yeah, well, it's a big box. And there's boxes in it.
Yeah.
That's not weird.
No.
Where else would you put them? All right. You get a robot butler to cater to your every need, okay?
Is this sexual too?
That's up to you, but it's an option.
Listen, Logan, what you do with your robot?
If you want it to be, if you want it to be a sexy female robot butler, that's doable.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we totally do that, Logan. we have people.
I mean, but you know, beyond that, dishes, laundry, cooking, whatever you need done.
Okay.
In return, you have to watch 3 hours of Tyler Perry's show every night. That horrible
Wait,
sitcom.
House of Pain? Is that what
yes,
I'm...
3 hours of that every night.
For how long?
Ever.
Wait, hold on, wait. I'm confused. Like, I get the robot?
You get the robot forever, every night you have to watch 3 hours of
no,
Tyler
Perry.
No,
I don't push the button.
You don't push the button?
No, I'm living fine now without this robot, so yeah, there's no way I push that button.
I don't know, robot butler.
As cool as a robot butler sounds, I can make my own. Ryan, you know when I dress you up on cardboard every third Friday, is it? I think it is?
Uh-huh.
And I make you go around the house saying, I am the Ryanbot 4000.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's like that.
And then you ask me if I'll service your sexual needs, and I say no.
Yeah, you say you're like, that function does not compute. Right. I'm like, I'll make it compute, and I start playing with your knobs.
That goes, like, that goes against my prime directive.
Of not having sex with Logan.
That is actually my prime directive.
That's a good prime directive, yeah. Robot Ryan.
And a lot. Thanks.
Robot Ryan will drive itself home now. You get in the car and drive off. That's always weird.
It is always weird. You're right. Yeah, I don't think I'd press that one either, but if it was only because I don't have 3 hours a day to waste.
Right, I feel like if I had to watch that much Tyler Perry, then Tyler Perry should be my personal servant. Like, he should come here and be, like, robot Tyler Perry.
That's the worst of both worlds.
Which, I think he's already kind of robot Tyler Perry now that I think about it.
All right, well, what about this one?
Okay.
You press this box, the button, okay. Hey, yeah. Logan, listen to this.
So, there's a lot of boxes in here now. Okay, go ahead.
Just move them aside.
I don't know.
We're going to rent a storage unit.
To hold all my boxes.
So, listen, you press this button, right? Mm-hmm. Two things. One, Community gets renewed for a second season, which leads to a Chevy Chase renaissance.
Oh, man, I clean up an aisle of Logan.
But you yourself are not allowed to watch any of it.
That's the twist if I push the... Wait, hold on. Wait, so what happens if I don't push the button? Just none of that happens?
If you don't push the button, you know, you take your chances. Community might get renewed, might not, you know. Probably won't lead to a renaissance.
Ryan, I have never before in my life given to charity, okay? And I've never even given blood. There was a guy on the street who, died in front of me. And he was like, all I need is an ounce of blood. And I was like, listen, guy, I'm late for my appointment with not giving blood at the blood donor place. I like to go and eat the cookies.
But to be fair, what did he want you to do, bleed on him?
It was a bit awkward. Mm-hmm. I got a mild case of AIDS. I got to keep walking.
Sure.
I have never given to charity. I'm not about to start giving to charity, Ryan. I don't believe in the whole thing. I spit on bums in the street. Mm-hmm. But this is the one charitable act I would do. I push the button.
That's amazing. Really?
The world needs a Chevy Renaissance. And it's kind of come to that now. It's kind of happened. And I want to just push that all the way and just let it blow up huge. And Chevy can personally thank me later by being my sexual robot slave.
I just imagine you, the old man, watching the Chevy Chase banner go down the street during the Chevy Chase parade for Chevy Chase Day, and you're like, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
You can't watch it. It would be a sad day because I can't watch any of this new stuff, but you did not mention that I can't watch my old Chevy.
I did not mention my old that. Chevy. That's right.
So, yes, do you push that button? Are you feeling terrible at all?
I think I would press that button.
I'd actually tell you not to so you can tell me about the new Chevy, Ryan.
That's true. Yeah.
Look, this episode last night was so great. Here's everything that happened. And you can try it. I'm like, I can kind of see this in my head.
He falls down, Logan.
Oh, man, he fell down for the first time on the show last week, and I, died laughing.
Yeah, when he, hit the, through all the drum set.
Twice. The first time, it was, obviously a stuntman, because they didn't show his face off. But the second time, he just, stepped into everything.
Right.
Oh, it was so perfect. Okay, anyway.
That's true. Only one of us has to press this button, so we could always describe it to the other. We could act it out.
Oh, even better.
You know, we'll hire a repertory theater or something to put on the shows. It'll be great.
The old Chevy, just for Logan. Players.
Okay, real quick. So, here's the other box.
One more?
Yeah.
Is this it? The last box?
Hold on. I have a few more, but I'm skipping the bad ones here.
Okay.
Okay, two quick ones, and then the big important one. So, Michael Ian Black will come to your birthday party, but he won't have a good time.
Or?
No, that's it. He'll come, but he won't have a good time. In fact, he'll kind of think you're a dick.
Well, he already does, Ryan.
I know.
What I did to the wife. I pushed this button.
Right, that's a win-win. Okay, there will never be another terrible remake in the history of cinema. But you have to learn and speak Esperanto for the rest of your life.
Done. I could converse well with William Shatner.
Excellent. And then the big one. You get $10 million, Logan. Not $1 million.
Wow.
$10 million.
And this is in, real money, not, future bucks or Ryan bucks or any of that stuff you tricked me with before?
Non-taxable real U.S. currency.
Wow.
Plus, okay. A three-picture deal at the studio of your choice.
Wait, as a writer?
Whatever, yeah.
So whatever, you can be Waterboy.
You can direct it, you can produce it.
Okay, cool.
And a huge cash advance on your memoirs.
Multiple?
Yeah.
I lived a lot of lives, yeah, okay.
That's right.
Which I have a lot to talk about. These boxes all have many chapters to fill.
Yeah, all the boxes you did and didn't press.
That's right.
In your lifetime. But
You
can never talk to me again.
No, you had to bring yourself into it, Ryan. This is unfair now.
That's
how
big
would we
finish.
Do the show then? How does this work?
How would we wouldn't. We'd have to not do it.
do you become famous as well at all? Like, what if I want to, like, bring you in on this deal? And, like, be like, Ryan, you know, I just got this amazing movie deal, and I want you to ghostwrite my novel because I'm too lazy to do it.
You couldn't say that because you couldn't talk to me ever again.
Are you... Am I dead? What, can I not speak words?
You couldn't communicate with me at all. I would still be alive, but we
if
couldn't...
If I got near you and I started talking, you just magically not hear me?
Yes. I would not know who you were or acknowledge you. How about that?
Jeez, you want me to go all sentimental on you, and I absolutely refuse not to do it. I would not push this button. But only because you act out as my robot every third Friday night. Don't forget that, okay?
If you don't press this button, I'll be your robot slave.
Done.
Okay, good.
I would not push that button out. No, okay, I'm gonna reverse it with Logan in the picture here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already pushed it.
No, I pressed it a second ago.
Like 2 weeks ago, yeah. I can't actually hear you right now.
No, if I got a $10 million 3-picture movie deal and my memoirs, I would be so obnoxious and full of myself that the only person who would talk to me would be you. So I would never press that button.
Yeah, you pretty much got that deal a few weeks back and I still talk to you for some reason.
I pissed it away pretty quick.
So, yeah, now you're back to doing this show again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those things, if I got that sort of deal, I'd want to bring you in on it.
Right.
Because, like, I couldn't keep getting that sort of deal. I couldn't keep my fame up if you weren't there to be like, Logan, why don't you write this one joke about me? Like, don't you like
Hey, Logan. Hey, Logan.
Yeah, I got some boxes. You want to push buttons with me?
That's my whole thing.
Bonk, bonk.
Bonk on the head. That's my script. I wrote it.
Here comes your pal, Michael in black. What a dick.
Now he's friends with you. Heard about that movie deal and yeah. Anyway, tacos. Hey,
listen, I'm sorry, it's Dickie's birthday party. Can I play Rhoda in this one? There's no Rhoda in that one. You didn't even open it up.
Well, it could be. I mean, you're...
I was watching Rhoda last night. It was pretty funny. Want to make a movie out of it? It's Michael and Black's traveling music.
All right.
This week we're bringing back something that was well loved by us back in the day.
Those nice stylish cardigans they used to wear.
Yeah, no, guess again.
Pipes. Nobody smokes a pipe anymore, I often find. And you look professional when you do it, philosophical.
No, guess again.
The Charleston?
No, Retro Pick!
Retro Pick.
The Retro Pick. How could I have be... How? Could I not know that?
Myself, I miss that sound clip, Ryan.
Me too.
It's like, I cried a little inside the day it died.
It's true.
It did die, right? Because I went to this weird funeral for the sound clip.
Well, now it's back. From outer space.
In retro pick form, yes.
We'll be doing more of these if at all possible.
Yeah, we always enjoyed the retro pick. And the retro pick, your quick history lesson, came about kind of by mistake. Like, our very first show ever, we'd just seen, I want to say, Reanimator. And we were just like, you know what? We're talking about movies of 2008, but Reanimator was a good movie.
Seven
or whatever it came out. But now it's a real segment that we have to try and pretend like we like. So, retro pick, Ryan. To tie in with the box. Like I said, the box was originally a Richard Matheson short story, which I read in anticipation of all this.
How was that?
It's short.
All right.
And pretty much our retro pick, which is a Twilight Zone episode from, I want to say, 87, 86, maybe?
Mm-hmm. The 80s version of the show, yeah.
The new Twilight Zone, right. Pretty much that bit right there in that show was the entire story.
Right.
Like, line for line, almost. So the retro pick is Button Button from, like, episode number 20 of the new Twilight Zone. I watched a few others on the disc as well to kind of get into what the new Twilight Zone was all about. Mm-hmm. It turns out to be like the old Twilight Zone, but everyone's dressed like they're in the 80s.
Right.
And having Richard Matheson thrown in is a good thing. So you're like, oh, you know, he used to be a Twilight Zone writer. This is really like what kicked off his career.
Right.
Button Button, however, Ryan, is not quite a good thing.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's
right, okay. I'm with you on that. Go ahead.
It's got all the good parts of the story. And it ends where I assume the short story ends, and where the best twist of the new movie is, with a great little line from Mr. Stewart after the button is pressed, and it says everything it needs to say. I wasn't sure where it would end because I'd seen the box first, so I was familiar with the longer version, and I was like, what part of this is the end of the actual original? When it ended there, I was like, well, yeah, that's all you really need, actually. That's perfect. And I recommend people probably just go ahead and read the short story. I mean, I recommend that's probably the best.
It's pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised that the 80s Twilight Zone version was sort of more played for laughs, or maybe not. Maybe it was just really weirdly done. But, like, it's got the main characters, the couple, pretty much the only characters other than Mr. Stewart that are in the 80s version, are sort of like these bumbling, cartoonish, cretinous, like, Andy Cap bickering married couple kind of characters.
Yeah, this is where, to me, the only way, this is the only thing that fell apart about it. I was actually interested. I wanted to see the whole thing. It never felt tedious or dumb, you know, like, uh-huh. It's kind of like what we're making it sound here. The only problem was really just the two of them as an actor, as actors. And you're right. I don't think it was quite played for the laughs. If anything, I think it was like played almost like a soap opera. I felt like they filmed it just quick and fast, and it was like way overacted. I almost felt like I was reading the script, and it's like Sarah hisses this line, because really, like, she'd literally like hiss a line at the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you're really overacting. And then if she'd like go from "I hate you so much" to "No, I want a divorce," like she like then she'd like stretch her voice way out and raise it really high.
Yeah.
I was like, no, what's happening here? And he was always, like, groping with his hair and drinking beer and stuff. And
he had a stutter for some reason?
It felt, yes, exactly. It felt really weird. But it kept you interested. And Basil, whatever his name is, I want to say his name is Basil something, because I like the word Basil.
Sure.
Who played Mr. Stewart was really good, though. He was actually, like, creepy, but he leaned more towards, like Warner Brothers kind of creepiness. Like, it was...
He was pretty goofy, too, though, in his creepiness.
Right, but I think that's kind of what... I don't... Uh-huh. You know, there's a certain level of goofiness he can reach where it stays creepy, and I think he reached that perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It's the two of them I thought were a little over the top. That's the worst complaint I have about this.
Hmm. But, you know, it was short. It got the point across. I liked it. You know, it sort of... It was all you need. You don't need the long, drawn-out version of that the box tried to do.
Yeah.
Overall... I liked it. I would actually like to see... I wish it had been an original episode of The Twilight Zone, because that seems to... That would have been, like, the best combination. That sort of, like, much more intense kind of atmosphere probably would have done wonders.
Something interesting while I was watching this is I was thinking that someone could take, like, bits of The Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone did a lot of restricted stuff like this, where it all took place in somebody's apartment, uh-huh. or someone's trapped in one spot. Someone could... and I'm surprised Broadway hasn't done this yet. Someone could take, like, Twilight Zone bits... and turn them into a stage musical.
Yeah, sure.
Because everything is there for that, really. I just want the song that Mr. Stewart comes in and sings about pushing the button. Because that wouldn't be goofy at all, Ryan.
Something on the Wing was, I mean, that's your main number right there.
Exactly. Yeah, there's Something on the Wing. And Matheson himself would be proud of that, I'm sure. He's actually still alive. Do you know that?
Yeah, I think I did.
That was like born like 1926 or something, Ryan.
Logan, there's Something on the Wing... Dun, 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 of and, my heart.
You know, John Lithgow would totally sing that too.
He would. He would do that musical.
He would do that musical, yeah. And he was good. He was great in that movie. I still happen to enjoy that movie.
I always...
Going to the random Twilight... Retro-picking other Twilight Zone bits now.
I enjoy thinking back to the episode of Third Rock from the Sun where Shatner guest starred and they had that little moment.
Yes. That's great.
Yeah.
Any other... favorite Twilight Zone moments, Ryan?
I mean, I like a lot of the old episodes. I like the doll one with Helly Savalas, where the doll comes to life. Of course, one that Simpson episode was based on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the one where... I don't remember any of the names, really. I like the one where...
There's a lot of great ones. There's a lot of crap, too. But one of my favorite Twilight Zone stories I always love to tell is because this is like one of those like great college moments, I think.
Because
uh-huh. in college, you're supposed to watch a bunch of, like, random stuff. Like, everyone's getting high watching old Star Trek episodes or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you and I, like, one late, like, 3 in the morning one time, caught the worst Twilight Zone ever. That involved jumping in a swimming pool and going to a world where everyone gave you cookies. And also, your voice changed, and you were voiced by the girl who did Rocky Squirrel.
Right. Yeah, I want some credit for that, because I was like, that's June Foray.
Yes, yeah, you kept saying that over and over again. I was like, Shrine, this is the worst episode of Twilight Zone ever.
I said it's June Foray.
And it really was. Like, that was at the very end when the show was completely falling apart, and you looked all the information up, and what we discovered was that, like, apparently, like, they'd filmed one part, and then they filmed the other part, but could never, like, sync the audio or whatever, so they actually hired a voice actor to come in, who was June Foray, there you go.
Yeah.
And, like, voice this little girl, right? And it sounds so goofy in the show itself.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible. Like, the episode doesn't make sense. It's like, your parents are nice, but in a swimming pool, it's better to eat cookies.
Yeah, and they really were like, let's run away, Steve! And they ran, like, jump in the pool, and they come out in this other world. You know, like, the swimming pool in their backyard goes into this world where everyone makes some cookies.
Right.
This is really weird. Okay, but yeah, Button, I can say I did enjoy, yes.
But yeah, I did as well.
Yeah. So there's your retro pick of Button, and for the Twilight Zone too. You know, why not? You know, take this week and catch up on some Twilight Zone. It's pretty much all on DVD.
They're all on DVD, and it's worth, you know, going through the original series especially.
And you know, like the '80s film comes on all the time, mm-hmm. and that's just worth seeing because there's a lot of big directors behind that movie, and most likely you haven't seen it.
Don't look up the Vic Morrow thing because that's just creepy, and you'll just really make yourself not be able to sleep.
Discovered that if you just like type his name into Google, that's like you're forced to see it no matter where you go.
Yeah, don't watch that video, kids.
And the thing is, there's usually, like, depending on which version you see, there's usually this guy who's kind of narrating it. He's like, I had to watch this over and over again in court, and I realized that the guy was actually dying, and then I didn't like watching it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you tell me this while I'm watching it?
I'm trying to enjoy this.
Oh, he totally just died.
On a happier note, Logan, Happy Thanksgiving is coming up.
Happy Thanksgiving is coming up?
Huh?
So you just tell me Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah,
the holly...
You know, you're coming over for the annual Critical Inn office dinner, right, Ryan?
I can't make it this year.
It's Wanda, isn't it? She's taking up all your time, Ryan. This girl's no good.
I'm gonna meet Wanda's parents this year.
Ryan.
She makes stuffing.
Much like her, they're from the wrong side of the tracks.
That's true. But my fort's on that side of the track, so I figured I'll visit her.
Ooh, wait, the one you made with the sofa cushions?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
No girls allowed.
Hey, guys, Thanksgiving at Ryan's Fort!
Oh, you got... Aw!
That's the cue to the spring break music.
What would you bring to Thanksgiving? What would you make for your Thanksgiving dish?
I always make the cranberry sauce.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I just take the can opener. I always joke about this. The one year I broke the can opener, so I was like, guys, I can't even make the cranberry sauce. Worst Thanksgiving ever. And then Charlie Brown came in.
I was going to say, sad Charlie Brown music plays.
What do you usually, Ryan's not known for his cooking skills, but do you usually whip anything together on Thanksgiving?
Sitcom-y type intro. Now, Ryan's not known for his cooking skills.
I'm sitting here tonight with Ryan and Georgie.
He is an idiot. Not really. I'm known for really...
You're probably like, no.
No. I'm known for, I'll skin a potato or two now and again.
what does that mean?
Take the skin off the potatoes so that you can make mashed potatoes, obviously.
You're right, it gets hot sometimes and I want ice cream.
No. That's not the same...
So, okay, you skin a potato,
I'll shell an egg, you know.
I wish you'd put an egg in your shoe and beat it is what I feel
what?
Like.
What? Deviled eggs are all of what Thanksgiving's about.
Guys, I remember one time I was sitting at a movie of Ryan, right? And there's the old commercial from the 90s where they're like, in a perfect world, deviled eggs would be used instead of popcorn at the movie theaters. And Ryan, you like turned to me, you're like, look, I want to live in that world. And that's it was like in sixth grade or something. I think this is before like Vegas Vacation, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I was probably like, shh, Vegas Vacation! But I'll never forget that. Yes, deviled eggs are good. I don't know if I could, like, eat a whole bag of them at the movies.
Oh, yes, you could.
Yes, yes.
You just hit the train, like me.
No, I do look forward to eating your deviled eggs this year.
That's disgusting.
And I hope you'll make some food as well.
Yeah, side. That's probably better.
You didn't let me finish yet.
Okay.
I didn't mean for it to be disgusting until I finished.
That's what she said.
Logan Lee's story.
All right.
Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Well, Thanksgiving news is that we'll be taking next week off, but we'll have a show for Thanksgiving, so it's sort of a trade-off. We're not taking Thanksgiving off. That's sort of like the trade-off.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, yes, happy Thanksgiving, or happy early Thanksgiving, or late Thanksgiving, depending on when you listen to us.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else to... Should we be more involved with our listeners?
You know, we could if they would track us down on iTunes and leave us reviews and ratings.
Maybe if they went to critical-in.com
uh-huh.
and maybe, you know, said something every now and then to us, because it's lonely out here on the internet, Ryan.
Reply to the post that this podcast is on, perhaps, telling us how they also loved the box?
Yes. I mean, no. I was actually about to do it myself. I'm going to fall for that old bit.
Almost good.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's a good show, Ryan. I think it's a wrap.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good show.
Yeah, you want to go to the after party?
Is there a box there?
It's not the Is there a button I push that makes the show stop now?
Listen, I have a deal for you, Logan.
This is the last box you were holding out on me, right? Okay.
It's black onyx. It's the most important box.
Oh, wow. This is cool. Okay, I like this.
Now, if you press this button, the show will end. However, we'll come back in a couple weeks.
So if I don't push, the show never ends?
Well...
Push! That was practicing for pushing the button.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I think now I might
actually
push.
You're pretty ready to do it.
The practicing involves me just saying push.
Uh-huh.
Sticking my arm out like this.
Yeah,
see me doing this?
I noticed. That's...
I'm a pro. Pushed all those non-Chevy Chase buttons, okay?
Right, yeah.
We ready for this?
Uh-huh, sure, please.
Ryan, it is now time to end the show via this black box.
Uh-huh.
Here it comes.
Go ahead, at your leisure.
I'm about to touch it.
Yeah.
there it is, folks. I pushed the... Why are we still on? Oh, God, did I push the Chevy Chase one?
Who's Chevy Chase?
No!
Music by Kevin MacLeod.